There's one short question that you're going to hear a lot this morning. Do you pray? Children, fathers, mothers, adults, do you pray? In my personal life, those three words became life-changing. Way back when I was young, someone handed me a little booklet by J.C. Ryle with that title, Do You Pray? It wasn't Dutch, so I think it was maybe four words then, but Do You Pray? I'm not saying this morning, do you say your prayers? I'm asking, do you pray? And there's no better example of that than what we hear this morning on the cross. And that made me think, first of all, of Samuel. All his life, the young man, too old, has served the people of Israel with great faithfulness and care, preached, taught them, encouraged them, corrected them when needed. And at the end of his life, they dump him. They want a king. And he felt it personally. And God corrected him. He says, no, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. But Samuel felt it too. And so he had to go through all the process of selecting King Saul. And on the day of King Saul's inauguration, as it were, he says in 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, you've done wrong, you've done wicked, you've turned aside from following the Lord. And he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing, in stopping to pray for you. I will not stop praying for you. Though you've so deeply hurt me, though you've rejected the teachings of God that I've given you, I will not cease to pray for you. That was beautiful. But now let's turn to Luke 23. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now our text for this morning, especially try to pray that, preach that to the children. But I hope you as older ones enjoy as much as I struggle but enjoy to prepare it for the children as well. So just three thoughts on this particular verse. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, that's not the whole text. The text starts in verse 34 with the verse, then. On that moment, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. So, first, when did he pray this? And second, let's look at what did he pray? And thirdly, why he prayed. So, when did he pray this? Then, our text says, said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Now, children, what do you feel like doing when someone, maybe if you're young, steals your favorite toy or ruins your beautiful project? Or when someone annoys you, or someone causes you pain and hurts you with his words, or with his fist, or with his foot, or trips you so that you scrape yourself as you are running over the field. So what do you feel like doing at that moment? Now, I'm sure if you let your feelings guide you, you would kick back, you would yell back, you would get even, you will do anything to let him know you won't accept that kind of stuff done to you. And we've all done that. I have. And everybody here has. Now let me ask, does that solve anything? Does that make for peace? Did that bring any healing? Did that make things better or worse? God says so simply, whatever you sow, you reap. So if you sow sin, you reap more sin. You'll never solve sin with sin. It only makes it worse. How different is what the Lord Jesus did. As we read this verse, and I'll read verse 33 as well, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That's the end of a fairly long period. Began all the way somewhere in the late previous night, perhaps, middle of the night, when Jesus was arrested. It's a long night for Jesus. She's brought into Jerusalem and brought to one house and then to Pilate's house and then to Herod's house and back to Pilate's house. And all the time he has no rest. He didn't get any breakfast, didn't get any drink. Just suffered, this Lord Jesus. Tossed around like a fly from one to the next. They hit him on his head. They spit him in the face. They tortured him with his hands tied to a pillar with a whip that was at the end made with little balls so it would have a good heavy whip to it, and inside of that little thong they would put some sharp sheep bone, make some nice gashes on your back to cut right through the skin into your muscle. That's all that's been happening on that day. You remember how you react when you have a little splinter in your hand and you have to do your chores. Ah, Mom, I can't do that. Or your mom says, you have to play your piano lesson. You complain. You think about this Jesus as he is going through all this. And finally, they took him to the cross. They tied a big log on him. They actually tied it either to his back or they tied it to his wrist. So he had to carry it like this. His wrist tied. So every time he stumbled, a big log pushed him over and stretched the skin and made him hurt more. And finally, they come to Golgotha. It says there, and they crucified him. Now, when you look at pictures that they make from this, you always see Jesus with a decent underwear, a loincloth. But that's only for decency's sake, congregation. These prisoners were stripped naked. Stark naked. The deeper you could humiliate that person and the deeper you could shame, the better. And what a shame we would all feel when in the sight of all kinds of spectators, you would be stripped naked. And then they stretched down his arms on the beam. And I did a little research about these nails. Well, here you have one. This size. 15 centimeters went to his hand and to his feet. And he lifted up that cross. And everything, of course, begins to stretch. And his whole body begins to convulse with muscle spasm and pain. He can hardly breathe. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Then, he didn't yell back. He didn't cry for pity. He didn't shriek in pain, as it must have been horrific. He didn't curse in anger. No. He prayed, Father, forgive them. for they know not what they do. It's as it were that he stretched out his hand to his Father, and not for himself. Well, look at that in our second thought. He prayed. My question to you, do you pray? Do you always pray? Do you first pray as he did? Jesus prayed all the time. I don't have the time to go through the whole book of Luke with you today. But if you go to the book of Luke, you'll notice how often Jesus prayed. Just a couple of examples. If you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 3. I won't give you all the examples. I think there's about 8 or 9, perhaps even 12. I forgot the number now. But Luke chapter 3, let's read together verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, right there in the middle of his baptism service, he's praying. We tend to read over that. But let's not for a moment stop here. Let's stop here for a moment. He's praying. I wonder what he prayed. We don't know. But he knows that this is the beginning of his official work. And he maybe prayed about that. Now in chapter 5, verse 16, he sent all the people away. Verse 15, and then we read, and he withdrew himself by himself in the wilderness, and he prayed. It's not the only time Jesus did that. There's several other times we read about that. He prayed. Sometimes the whole night. Luke in chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. He's a man of prayer, Jesus was. And sometimes he spent the whole night, as we see here, alone with his Father in the cathedral of nature. We don't know what he prayed. We know what he prayed in chapter 22, verse 42. And there he hears him cry as he is in Gethsemane. And he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. So those are just a couple of examples of his prayer life, and then we find him again praying in our text. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Do you pray? It's my question. Do you pray? Undoubtedly, what Jesus did as a grown man, he did as a young man. He would have prayed as a teenager. He would have prayed as a child. Is that your habit too, children, already? Are there sometimes times you get up early just to pray? Or do you get up early enough to pray before the day starts? Or do we just roll out of bed and roll onto the breakfast table and let Dad pray? And then we go to school and we let the teacher pray. And then we come home and we let Dad pray again. And then maybe at night God gets a few words of you. Do you pray? Is it your habit to pray early and every day and first of all? Now, I said already that do you pray is not the same as do you say a prayer. Maybe you've memorized one. You've learned it from your mom and dad to repeat a little prayer. And you pray that every night. Now, That's not praying necessarily. Jesus says, seek ye me. Seek and ask and knock. There is an intensity in it. There is an emphasis in there. And you shall be given. Prayers will never save you. Without asking, you shall not be given. Without seeking, you shall not find. And without knocking, you will have nothing open to you except where you are and where we will go. Away from God. There is need to pray, don't you think? And my question is, do you pray? Let's sing together from Psalter 187, verse 2 and 3. Needy. There's a prayer. Needy and sorrowful. To thee I cry. You see, that's praying. Cry. O God, let thy salvation set my soul on high. And I will sing and praise thy holy name. It's so well said by Yeshival, I think. If we do not learn to pray on earth, we'll never praise in heaven. Let's sing 187, 2 and 3. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So let's now look at what Jesus prayed. And sometimes it's helpful to think about what he didn't pray. What would we pray if we would be in a situation like this, if someone would be hurting us, would cause us the pain that he had to suffer? What would we pray? Father, help me. Wouldn't that be a fitting prayer? Father, help me to get rid of these people that are hurting me like this. Take me off this cross, Father, or send thy angels to deliver me. Save me. No, there's nothing wrong in praying that. And as a matter of fact, Jesus also prayed that. As you can read in Psalm 22, in Psalm 69, particularly also a psalm that speaks about Jesus on the cross praying, and in his quietness, undoubtedly he prayed, But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me and deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink, Lord, and let me be delivered from those that hate me out here, and let not these waters overflow me. So yeah, Jesus prayed that too. Father, why, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And it wasn't his first prayer. There's nothing wrong in asking the Lord that. But notice he also didn't pray, Father, why art Thou allowing this to happen to me? I've never done anything but good. I've always been loving every one of these people here. I have never deserved this. Why art Thou allowing this in my life? Now, I understand that we sometimes feel like praying that. When things go really sour, and we've tried to be good, and we've tried to be kind, and we've tried to be obedient, and we've tried to do all the right things, and it seems like everything goes wrong. While other people all seem to prosper, you and I, or maybe all goes wrong, and you feel like praying, Father God, why? Why must this happen to me? I've not done anything like those that are hanging next to me here. The two men on the left and the right. No. No, Jesus never complained. He never compared himself to others. Yes, he did lift up his needs to his Father. And we heard that just a moment ago. Father, if it is possible. Not my will, but thy will. So here also on the cross, he is in total submission to his Father. Beautiful. As the Savior here submitted. But what did he pray then? Father, forgive them. Pardon them. Now if you hadn't read this before, you might say to me, are you real? You've got to be kidding me. You won't pray that when people do this kind of stuff to you. No, indeed, you wouldn't, and I wouldn't. And if God would let our sinful hearts pray, we wouldn't pray. But He did. And there's later on another one who did that. And I ask you children to find that other one in the Bible today. Father, forgive them. Forgive them this cruelty they are doing to me. Forgive them, Father, for this evil of killing thy son. Father, forgive them for what they are doing. This greatest of all sin. They taking me, thy child, and they are murdering thy child on the cross. Father, forgive them. As they are murdering his son. Now, you feel how amazing this is. You say, is that for real? Is that really what Jesus prayed when they pained him and shamed him like this? As they hung him on this cross and are standing around him, as you need in the next sentence, mocking him and laughing at him and poking fun at him and teasing him and challenging him. No one is showing any pity. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Don't think that this prayer only goes backwards. This prayer goes forwards as well. Father, forgive them. Instead of throwing stones at them, he is praying for them and congregation and children while Jesus feels his own pain in every pore of his body. He feels even more pain when he thinks about all those people. For Jesus knows one thing. My pain is short. But if these people don't get forgiveness, their pain will be forever. And here you get such a beautiful picture of the greatness of our Lord Jesus. Though He is pain everywhere, He feels more the pain for them. Isn't He great? Isn't this a majestic person? Isn't this not someone that you want to know? That you would want to have as your king? That you want to serve as a servant? Such a great king. And who did He pray this for then? Now we know this in our text. Father, forgive them. Now those are the Roman soldiers who just put this big nail through His hand and feet. Those are the Jewish people who cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. They are these poor blind people who are standing there taunting Him and teasing Him. And hurting Him. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they're doing. Oh, they didn't know they did something wrong. Of course they didn't know that. They knew that this man didn't deserve to be crucified. They knew he wasn't like that one and that one who was a robber. They knew he did good. They knew all that. Don't think that they didn't know that. They knew he was innocent. But they didn't know who He really was. They didn't know they were killing their Savior. They were not realizing that they were taking the very Son of God who had become the Son of Man and were crucifying Him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Them. I said this prayer goes backwards, but this prayer also goes forward. Do you see yourself this morning in this them? I was reading Newman this week, a man I don't know, but I came across some thoughts of him. He says, do you know when Pilate sentenced Him to death? Do you know who agreed with it? I did. You ever thought that about yourself, children? Agreed with Pilate? Now, this man said that. He says, I agreed. I did agree. Do you sometimes do wrong things that you know are wrong? Yeah. Then we are in the them. Do we sometimes do mean things to those that are weaker? And we are in the them. See? Each time He says the willingness of my heart to sin and the evil delight I find in sin is my agreement with what Pilate did, what the Jews did, what the soldiers did to Jesus. Now that's what that man wrote. So I read that again. He says, the willingness whereby I sin and the evil delight I sometimes find in my sin is my agreement with what Pilate did, what the Jews did, and what the soldiers did with Jesus. Each time I have put someone down, each time I have hurt someone, each time I have teased and mocked and laughed at others who perhaps are failing or made a mistake, Jesus made no mistake. But he was hurting. And each time I participate, or I do that too, then I am in the dumb. You see that, children? Each time that I tease others because they are smaller or helpless, we sin just like the dumb, because you know you do wrong and you do it anyway. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Maybe you didn't realize it either. Remember, Paul didn't either, till he heard this voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He didn't know that. Me? Who is me? Who art thou, Lord? Me? Yeah. When Paul touched one of those Christians, he touched Jesus. When Paul dragged another one to a prison or to death, he dragged Jesus. He's in the dumb also. You see, if I hurt others, if I shame someone, as they did to Jesus, if I shun a boy or a girl in my classroom, maybe because he's not just like me. Maybe he has a different last name. Maybe he has a different color of skin. Maybe he has a silly, funny accent. Any time I put someone down, I am in the dumb. Just like these Jews and soldiers did to Jesus. You say, yeah, but that's not Jesus. You don't know that. That boy, that girl, could be a sheep of Jesus. We don't know that. And therefore, whether it is a friend or an enemy, it could be a child or a sheep of Jesus. And when I touch them, as these people did, I am in the dumb also. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Let's think first before we conclude with our last thought. Why did Jesus pray? And this time we'll stand again and we'll Psalter 386, verse 1 and 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call. On thee rely. 1 and 4 of 386. do you pray? That was the question. And now let us ask that once more in the third thought. Do you pray why Jesus prayed? In the same way. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did Jesus pray that? He prayed that because he loved all these people. That's hard for us to understand. He prayed, Father, forgive them or hold back thy judgment. Why? Because he loved these people. He loved his neighbors, kind neighbors. He loved his neighbors, unkind neighbors. He loved his neighbors, cruel neighbors. He loved his neighbors, killing neighbors. Wow. How different is Jesus Christ, isn't he? That's now a perfect man. He loved his neighbors as his own. Was willing to go to the cross. One of the hardest things in life is to love those that are very unlovable. To be kind to the unkind. Well, that's hard already. And to seek the best for those who did the worst to you. But to love them, to really genuinely do everything that is loving. Jesus prayed out of love for these people. He says, he didn't say, Father, destroy them. Take them and cast them in hell. No. He prays, Father, forgive them. He doesn't wish their destruction. He prays for their salvation. He prays as it were for God to hold back his anger at this and allow these people time to repent. It's already hard to do that afterwards, don't you think? Somebody has really hurt you. Somebody has really, whatever, done something bad to you. And to go on your knees for them afterwards. And to lift up their name and say, Father, they did this to me or they said this to me. They hurt me. Will thou forgive them? Will thou please make it well between them and thee? That's already hard to do afterwards. But he did it not afterwards. He did it right in the middle of it. Father, forgive them. Do you pray like that? Pray as people hurt you, as people reject you, as people shun you, as others are mean to you. You pray for them. Now, that's what Jesus did. And maybe there is someone that has hurt you and is hurting you, and do you pray for their salvation? Or do you wish them all the evil that you can think of? Now the second reason Jesus did that, he did that because in doing this prayer, he gave the problem to his Father. He says, Father, forgive them. Now he prays to you as a human, as the Son of Man. Yeah, Peter writes about this later when he reflects on Jesus on the cross and he says this about him. He left us an example, he said. He says, when Jesus was suffering, he didn't revile when he was reviled, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself and his problem to him that judges righteously. So he laid it in his Father's hand. Father, here, deal with this. Forgive them. It's a very important thing to remember. Sometimes there's things that we cannot solve. We cannot fix. And God doesn't always ask us to fix everything that we can't fix. And then we may lay it in the Father's hand. Say, Lord, here, this is something I can't fix. Well, thou'll fix it. That's the second reason. And the third reason is that Jesus is asking his Father that they would have time to repent. To die with unforgiven sin is the worst thing. For if we stand before God with unforgiven sin, we will be forsaken, like Jesus will be in a few moments. As he goes into the darkness, and he's left of God and man, forsaken. And children, Jesus knows that if these men, these women, and perhaps children who are participating in this, if they will not have forgiveness, they will soon have to be forsaken. And we know that that affects Jesus' heart more than anything, because he wept tears over Jerusalem and over the children of Jerusalem about what will be coming on them. To die unforgiven will be forsaken of God. And God has answered this prayer, hasn't he? He has given these people time to learn to see and to name and to shame their own sin. Now, there's a fourth reason that he prayed this. He believed there was forgiveness. Even for these people. And this is a very encouraging gospel message, isn't it? Maybe you sit here thinking, oh, there is no forgiveness for me. My friend, look at this picture. Here is one who is crucified, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And he prays to his Father for forgiveness. What does that mean? That there is forgiveness even for these. Will you then not doubt that there is forgiveness with him? No matter where you've been, what you have done. Yeah, to talk about forgiveness, of course, without feeling sorry and without feeling humbled and without seeing the horror of our sin, that's cheap talk. No, therefore, begin to look at this picture. See yourself in it. The thumb. Go and ask the Lord, walk me back, Lord. Walk me back over the scenes in my life where I've done like this. Bring it back to my memory. Maybe I have long forgotten. The people would have not forgotten. Yeah, I have never forgotten what they've done to me when I was a young kid. The teasing I had to endure as a young boy. That I've never forgotten. Maybe they did. But it stands between God and them. Father, forgive them. Please ask the Lord to bring your sins back to your memory. But as he does, do not doubt that there is forgiveness with him. So I'm going to close again with a question. Do you pray? No, don't say your prayers, but do you pray? Pray for yourself. How often this past week did you take time alone to pray? Not just to mumble your prayers, but to stop and to think and to call and to cry to God. How many times this past week? And maybe in this past week you remember that there were moments that you actually were mean or careless or unkind, and you're still here. That's an answer on this prayer. That you are still here today is the answer on this petition. You'll be given time to repent, time to return to God. And dear friends, please, many of us pray like animals, eat and sleep and drink and walk. They just go through it, they do it, they don't need to think about it. And so many people, they eat and they sleep and they drink and they breathe and they enjoy the sunny day without any prayer. Now, I assume you're not one of those. How many of us pray like those who wash their hands? not thinking about washing your hands, but you did it anyway. How many of us are like those who just wipe their nose? Don't even think about you did it. That's how many of us pray. Thoughtless. Habitual. Without any single realness to it. Now, J.C. Ryle says, words without a heart, they're as useless as the drum beating that the former African tribes would do to call their God to send rain. How many of us beat the drum like the Africans did in the way we pray? Do you pray? And the real reason that we don't pray, I know, is because we don't feel our sin. We feel fine and we are not concerned about our sin. We don't see the dangers. We're involved in our pleasures. We have our things to do. I would like you to take along that. You don't see it on the camera, but that little petition. Show us thy glory. That hangs there not without reason. That hangs there every time you sit in church. You for a moment let your eyes rest on that petition. Lord, show us thy glory. This morning I showed you a little bit of it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord listens when children pray. A whisper he can hear. He knows not only what we say, but what we wish or fear. He sees us when we are alone, though no one else can see. And all our thoughts to Him are known, wherever we may be. It's not enough to bend the knee. It's not enough words of prayer to say. The heart must be, with the lips agree, or else we do not pray. Teach us, O Lord, to pray aright, thy grace to us impart, that we in prayer may take the light, and serve thee with the heart. Amen. Blessed Lord Jesus, we've pondered this morning about this magnificent petition. In circumstances that are indescribable to us, and what, Lord, a beauty, what a glory, what a majesty, that then thou prayed these words with 100% sincerity and uprightness of heart, loving thy neighbor, even those that were killing, teasing, mocking, hurting thee. Oh, blessed Lord, what an encouragement there lies in this for us this morning. But also what admonishment. Help us to see how we are involved in the thumb. How we partake, Lord, in this sin. Oh, blessed God, convict our hearts. And lead us to this fountain of forgiveness that is with thee. Teach thou us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.